A Phoenix organ artist is the first guest on JPR's new arts program. Here's host Vanessa Finney.
Hi, this is Vanessa Finney with Jefferson Public Radio, and today I'm starting a new segment focusing on artists. The goal is to go beyond the event calendar and reveal the creative process behind the finished products we see and hear. I also want to highlight how the arts stimulate cultural conversations and make us think about ourselves as individuals and as a society. My first guest embodies that with her commitment to community and her exploration of ideas through visual and performing arts. Becca Blake is part of a team known as Southern Oregon Celebrating Women, and they've produced a local exhibit designed to get people thinking about the importance of female artists and their historical underrepresentation. Becca, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
And I'm excited to have you. I've been reading so much about your work. Tell us who you are as an artist and your background.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I have an interdisciplinary educational background. I have a degree in fine arts and a degree in business leadership, as well as a nonprofit management certification. So those three disciplines do play a role in my artwork as well. And in that, I am interdisciplinary as an artist, and I'm community-based. So what that means is that for my interdisciplinary art practice, I'm mixing visual, conceptual, digital, and performance arts together. And as a community-based artist, I'm concerned with the ways in which community organizations, programs, intergenerational communication, technology, social change, you know, all of these different components of the community come together. So my work is rooted in foundations of studio painting, actually in the practice that's brought, but I take it out to a larger scale by making performative works sometimes in public spaces and documenting them with digital media. And then I take that documentation and share it with the community in various formats, kind of like how I'm doing here today with you. But also it could be presentations at conferences or with exhibitions and paneling or even written works.
Okay, so that's sort of your abstract goal or process. And then how does that fit into one specific show? I'll just choose the one that I happened to go to recently at Central Art Gallery in Medford.
Oh, yes.
And I noticed you sort of responded to a prompt.
Right. That was community-based, too, because I have an art community that I'm a part of with my painting teacher, Amanda Sage. She was trained by Ernst Fuchs, who's an Austrian painter, and she started an online community to help bring people together who were struggling during the pandemic. And so she had this idea to create a nonstop Zoom call where artists could log in and share about their work or just make work at the same time and not feel so isolated. And it's called the Vision Train. And so she brought this prompt to us to make art for every day of the year of 2023. And I had already been working on a concept of making art based on my experience as a woman and wanting to envision, you know, ways to express myself and communicate through my art about overcoming hardships and destigmatizing hardships. And so I combined those two things. I said, okay, for this prompt, I'll make a little sketch every day in a sketchbook on that topic. And so that grew into the larger show, which is what you saw in Medford at Central Art Gallery.
And then just to zero in further, so you have one collection of images from that exhibit was female bodies in a landscape with animal torsos or heads.
Right.
Explain that for us.
Right. Well, that was part of the performative aspect of my work. After I had studied things in the studio and sketching, I took some of those concepts of also in a conversation that I was having with other artists, a group in particular, the Gorilla Girls, who I was actually mentored by one of them at one stage in my life. And so they used gorilla masks as a way of communicate, you know, message and a statement about speaking about gender equity in the arts. They're protesting the inequity of women being represented in the galleries and museums.
Less than men were at the time.
Right.
Okay.
So they were. That's why they were saying only 5% of the artists being shown are women, but 85% of the art has nude women in
right.
it. And so they're based in New York City, and, you know, I'm a rural artist, so I felt that it was, and it was more appropriate with the theme of my show, too. I chose to pick a cow mask. And so as I normally do, I took some drapery into the landscape, and now I added this element of this mask. And some red boots. So it was a little bit of a variation from what I had already been doing, but still within the, you know, range of my work. And we documented it, the performative expressions. And so that was what you saw.
For those of you just tuning in, this is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Vanessa Finney talking with Southern Oregon artist Becca Blake about an April 2024 contemporary art exhibit at the Langford Art Gallery. So, Becca, you touched on gender disparity, and that's a perfect lead-in to your current project, Womankind. What's the purpose of that?
Right. So the purpose of Womankind started as a way for me to bring these women-centric topics into focus in our community, to celebrate women, and also to honor my mentor. My mentor, Lane Redmond, who was part of that group, the Guerrilla Girls. Overall, the highlight is the importance of women in the arts. And then that does bring some focus of gender inequity into the conversation.
What are some good illustrations of that before we get into the actual exhibit?
Yeah, and it's still going on. Like, you know, the Guerrilla Girl movement grew, it formed in 1985 as a way to speak about not just sexism, but racism or any kind of inequity in the arts. And the statistics they've changed a little since then, but there's still quite a difference between men and women. Women, for instance, I'm reading from the National Museum of Women in the Arts website. Women make up a majority of professional art museum staff. Despite recent gains, they remain unrepresented in leadership positions.
Another one from the Public Library of Science from 2019 caught my eye. Mm-hmm. It says, a recent survey of the permanent collections of 18 prominent U.S. art museums found that the represented artists are 87% male and 85% white.
Right.
So you mentioned the sexism and racism. So there's a lot to address there.
Exactly.
And I did see some maybe indication for progress. Art reviews 2018 Power 100 list included 40% women, so that's an improvement from previous years. And in 2017, the first woman of color won the Turner Prize, which is one of the best-known visual art awards.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes, I see as well that women still occupy fewer directorships at museums with budgets over $15 million. Holding 30% of art museum director positions and earning 75 cents for every dollar earned by male directors.
That's interesting. I have more personal experience with the film world, and when people talk about women, for one, being underrepresented in films, you look toward the leadership. You know, well, who's running the studios? Who's directing? So
right,
it seems, yeah, with these things that you've brought to light, it makes us see maybe it's the same kind of thing. You know, if sometimes a person to get representation, a group, they need to hold those leadership positions to really affect a change.
Exactly. Right. And statistics like this help us understand a little bit more clearly, you know, what we're dealing with.
Yeah. So now that we've established sort of the landscape and the importance of women in art, obviously, and how everyone's trying to move the needle there. Talk about your specific exhibit.
So, Womankind exhibition is being held at Jack Langford's Art Gallery. Jack Langford is a renowned sculptor here in our region, and he is the only foundry within hundreds of miles from other ones. And so I approached him about having a show, my woman-centric art show. And then I was offered the opportunity at Central Art Gallery, and Jack and I said, well, why don't we have a group show after my solo show in Medford? And so that's how it started. And we initially had six artists that we identified from his gallery and his network and a few from my network. And then I was interested in combining efforts with Community Works, which is a nonprofit. They have this wonderful program called a heartwarming party, where a host can hold the party in a venue, and they invite guests, and they ask guests to bring gifts and donations from items on the wish list on the Community Works website. And so it's a fundraiser to collect items for the shelter. And in return, the representative from Community Works will offer a presentation to help educate the community about the work that they do and what some of these residents go through on a daily basis. And so from that initial intention that we set, the outreach to the community, and people would hear about it and they just want to participate and be a part of it, and it nearly tripled in size from our original goal. We now have 12 artists total that are participating. We have four nonprofits. We have a couple private events, and we have a few for-profit sponsors. And some of them are women-owned businesses. But all the businesses sponsoring are in support of women.
That's fantastic. I see your background in nonprofit management and your fine arts degree coming all together in this really productive way. You probably can't name all 12, but give us just a few highlights of artists that are part of this Womankind exhibit at the Jack Lingford Gallery.
We have just this incredible range of artists working in different mediums. We have Isabel Rosier Alzado. She's an incredible French painter. And she also gives French lessons. If you want to learn how to speak French.
Total culture. One stop.
We have Allison Barnes, another incredible artist who works with conceptual photography. And we have Kat McIver, who is a PhD in therapeutic arts. She leads groups in therapeutic ceramics. We have Alexis Mixter, who is phenomenal in her work with pyrography. So she's using a tool that burns into wood. And we have Inger Nova Jorgensen, who's a fantastic sculptor and painter. If you haven't seen her work, you just really have to experience it. It's phenomenal. And Victoria Christian, who not only is a phenomenal painter, she also has compiled a fantastic book called Feminine Mysticism in the Arts.
It's so neat to hear you talk about the importance of mentorship, and we're also hearing the importance of scholarship in the arts, which I don't think everybody knows goes into it. These women, yourself included, aren't just making pretty pictures, you know. They're creating really thought-provoking art, and they're researching for themselves how it fits in the context of art historically.
Right.
Society, right. Historically.
Yes, art is a form of communication.
So interesting. Okay, thank you so much for spending time with me today.
Thank you. This has been fantastic. I enjoyed it.
This is Vanessa Finney on Jefferson Public Radio. I've been talking with Becca Blake, artist and organizer of the Womankind exhibit on display at the Langford Art Gallery in Phoenix, Oregon through April 29th. You can view the art anytime the gallery is open, including during upcoming special events in April. On April 14th, the executive director of Community Works will present during that night's fundraiser. Future events feature a panel of select Womankind artists speaking on the importance of women in the arts, and fundraisers for the local chapter of the Association of American University Women and the group Progressive Oregon Women. You'll find details at womankindart.com. And thanks for listening.